This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and I hope you guys are having a great day today. I know here in Alabama, it is bitterly cold. It's like 14 degrees, folks. That's almost like a record-breaking for us in Alabama. But I also know, keep Texas in your prayers, by the way. I also know Texas, a lot of people, thousands of people, are suffering with no power, and it is bitterly cold there, and they're not used to the cold weather either. So you guys keep them in prayer as well. And hopefully, before long, we'll get out of this cold spell and move a little bit more into warmer weather where we can tolerate it and maybe get to the summer where we can celebrate it. So, definitely keep these people in prayer. So, as every one of you know, I'm a big believer in thoughts become things. I'm a big believer in the attraction of what the Bible talks about and teaches for all people, because I'm a firm believer God is bigger and stronger, for lack of better words, than what Christians say and what humanity says and what religion says. I've always felt like, either God is Lord of all or He's Lord of none. But that being said, I like to get down to the basics. When God says all, God means all. When God says, what's in your heart, you attract. And guess what? What's in your heart, you attract. So I've always been that type of believer, because I believe that's how the scripture sort of lays it clear for us. However, with that being said, many of you who write in for prophetic words from my ministry, I love to prophesy to people. I do it all day long, every day, for people who write in who really need to hear from the Lord. And it's a good way for people who've never been exposed to prophetic, people who really need to hear from God. I prophesy to people sometimes on a monthly basis, and so it's a great thing, and I love doing it. It's my heart, it's the heart of God, and I believe God always wants to talk to His people, definitely. And I said that because of the fact, the only thing we do ask for basically is a love offering, because, I feel like this way. This is how I look at life. If you can't sort of bless someone who's actually taking the effort to get on their hands and knees, for lack of better words, and pray and seek God for you, that you can't give a love offering, then my thing would be, are you really worthy enough to receive that? You know what I mean? And that's not being ugly. It's just sort of, I've just never been that person that's stingy. I've never been that person, a workman's worthy, they're higher. And I've always felt like, if someone does anything for you, whether you say, the word of God is not for sale, or okay, great, wonderful, we get that. But the truth is, if anyone does anything nice for you and it's a sacrifice for them, come on, guys. Are we called to be stingy, or can we just bless people? And plus, the money that's given to our ministry goes into our missions work, and I'm all about missions because Jesus was. Amen. So with that being said, people might say, well, what are you going to talk about today? So what I want to discuss today is something I never discuss. When I dealt with prophecy earlier, I wanted to talk about for a couple of minutes what I felt like God was putting on my heart for 2021. And the reason why is because I'm not the kind of prophet that prophesies the buzzwords that people do, or the yearly word, because everybody else does it. I love prophets, I really do, but it just bothers me when every prophet out there happens to have a word of the Lord for the year now, and they just happen to all agree politically, and they just happen to say the same thing, about what God's doing for that year. I just have an issue with that, because it's like, is God not any more original or authentic that He can't speak to people in different cultures and regions and people individually? You know what I mean? And so I feel like that, and I think the Old Testament sort of gives us that sort of warning and caution. So when everybody agrees on something, I'm always like, stay away from it, And it doesn't mean it can't be right, but it also means that if everybody's saying the same thing, that's actually not biblical, And so when it deals with the Old Testament, but you know what? To each its own. We praise God for everybody, and we thank God for everybody's trying to work out their own salvation, fear and trembling, just like I am. And so, hey, but with that being said, this morning I was thinking, what can I talk about on my podcast today? And I feel like God just spoke to me and says, tell people what they've been through in 2020 and where they're going in 2021. Now, I know it's at the end of February here, and so, it's not the fact, I missed it, I should have done it, just January 1st. No, I feel like I want to say it when God tells me to. You know what I mean? And here's what God put in my heart. Is I felt like the Lord spoke this to me, and that is that what we're coming out of is the ugliness of the church. Now, I want everyone to have an ear to hear and an eye to see what I'm saying. I feel like we're coming out of the ugliness of the church. You know, we went through this pendulum swing for, I don't know, maybe a year, two, three, 4 years, whatever, you know, where everybody got hostile. You know, the church got hostile. They got defensive. You know, it's almost like we showed our true colors of feeling like, you know, like we're fighting and we're just tearing people up, and we brought this polarization mentality. You know, you're either for this or you're against this, you know, mentality, which really just takes away from people's opinions and choices and ideas. And we're not talking about anything like sin versus, you know, we're not talking about, you know, either you're for me, against me on, you know, killing somebody or not killing somebody. We're talking about just how people, their preferences of how they prefer to, I don't know, live their life, how they prefer to vote, how they prefer, you know, which side of the town they decide to live on, you know, what kind of job they want. I mean, it's things like that that actually became very polarized, which really is saddens my heart, because the way that God's always put this to me is that's not what the church is. We don't want to go back to the Catholicism part of it, where, you know, if you were Catholic, you were just killed, you were burned, or you're out, you know, you're thrown out, you know. And I think that's where the church is coming to that place of militancy. And to be honest with you, God made it plain to me. This is what I heard this morning. He says the ugliness of the church has been exposed. And they never allowed me to fight their battles. They decided to fight their battles on their own. They decided to get down to the system of the world, get involved in the system of the world. When I told them, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And this is the things God began to tell me. And God said, instead of keeping their eyes on the prize of the high call, they got their eyes on the prize of their region, of their country, of their people, of their own this and that. And I thought, wow. Okay, so I got that. So with that being said, I knew that God was showing me. He says, you know, Jeremy, he says, but here's the good part of it, is sometimes before things get sort of better, sometimes they do get ugly. And God said, that's because there's a purging. There's a burning away of the wood, hay, and stubble. He says the ugliness that has been distributed recently from the church has been abrasive, it's been abusive, and it's been very ugly. And God even told me, God said, it's been very tacky. And I don't even use that word tacky, but that's what God put in my heart. And God began to show me that in 2021, what we're coming into is a year where people will make up their mind. And that's what God told me. He says, this is a year where people learn to make up their mind. And I didn't know what that meant. And God began to flow more about that situation to me and began to say, what that means to you is, God says, people are going to begin to realize what kind of attitude they needed, what kind of attitude they need now. And the Lord began to show me, God says, because what's happening here is, God says, you know, the fire is coming, but the fire is going to burn away the wood, hay, and stubble. And the wood, hay, and stubble was not, you know, the old, what they consider non-revival. And when God made it plain to me, God says, the fire is not here to stir up a revival because you guys have been all good and I'm just sort of, you know, patting you on the head. God made it plain to me. God says, what this represents is the fire is coming to burn away the ugliness, the attitudes, the defensive mechanisms, the warring, the fighting, you know, the parading in the streets, you know, and I'm talking about the church, folks. I'm talking about the world. Let me explain this to you as well. You know, when people get upset because they say, well, the world's doing this, here's my key thing. It shouldn't bother you because you're not of the world, first of all. Number two, you know, you can't expect, you know, people that don't know spirituality to act any different, because when people don't know something, they're going to act it out of what they know that's natural for them. And what I mean by that is people are expecting the world to act like spiritual people. They're not going to. And I think when people get, you know, sort of upset about that, it bothers them. And I'm like, but you know what? You're a Christian. You're going to act like a Christian. So, you know, does that shock them? Well, no, because they know you're a Christian. Therefore, the world even knows you're going to act like what you believe. And so what they believe, they're going to act on. And so it doesn't bother me one bit. I mean, not one bit, you know. But when it deals with Christianity, God made it plain to me, what we're seeing is the burning away of the hostility. We're burning away of the choosing sides, the burning away of all that stuff that happened the past, I don't know, maybe year, two, three, 4 years. Because the Lord began to make it plain to me. God says, I tell my people to focus on things above, not on things below. I tell my people to look up to know the redemption draws nigh, but they refused to, and they looked around them. And God says, and they went by what they were seeing and what they were feeling, and they got hostile about it. They got defensive about it. it. And God said, what happened is, God says, the ugliness of the church, of their unrenewed mind, has came out the past couple of years. And that's what God began to put in my heart. So when people say, oh, we're shouting revival, we're shouting revival, a part of me wants about to say, you know what, you don't need revival. What you need is you need to change your mind. You need to change your heart of how it's been the past couple of years. You need to be able to re-examine your life and your heart of all the things that you've done and what you've been saying. And that's why for me, when people begin to say, you know, hey, you know, fake news, here's what I say. I said, the reason why this stuff doesn't bother me is simply because of the fact, you know what, I'm not of this world. If it bothers you, here's what I tell people. If there's a trigger in you that talks that goes with political parties of either side, if something triggers you or makes you upset because somebody says something to you of how they believe, whatever, then you know what I'm saying? You know what that means? It means you have an unrenewed mind. You don't have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ even says this: go the extra mile for someone. If someone smites you, guess what? You don't smite them back. You turn the other cheek. And the Lord made it plain to me earlier today that everything that Jesus stands for is everything the church did not do the past couple of years. And that says a lot, because the Lord made it plain to me. God says, my people would rather revert back to the Old Testament than they would live in the New Testament and do what I did. Because the Lord began to tell this to me. God says, do you know what the greatest weaponry are? You know, the greatest weaponries are in the church is love and grace and mercy, going the extra mile, showing compassion. And God, and this is what God told me. God says, I saw none of that the past year to 4 years. And I was blown away. And I thought, you know, all of a sudden I began to see the same thing what God was sharing with me. Is what we've been distributing is things of the old covenant that was before Christ. And the reason why, and I asked the Lord, I said, why exactly is that, God? And God said, because my people would rather be an actionary people of defenses and triggers and fighting than realizing the battle's not yours, the battle's mine. They would rather do that than turn the other cheek. They would rather do that than go the extra mile for somebody. They'd rather do that than take up someone who's in the street beaten up and take them to the local, you know, motel and put them up. They'd rather do that than go in and visit the prisoners in prison. They'd rather do that than give the shirt off their back. And God just, in my spirit, God kept going on and on. And God began to make it plain to me. God says, none of that was displayed. And it made sense to me, because what I've been sensing in my spirit, you know, even just the past couple of days, has been that God told me, God says, the ugliness of my church has been displayed. And what's shifting now in 2021 is beginning to be reawaken to the reality, reawaken to the power of who you are and actually whose you are. And I know that's sort of something we used to say years ago, you know, it's not about who you are, it's whose you are. We get that completely. But all of a sudden, I was reminded of that today, that, you know, you don't belong to Moses, folks. You don't belong to Cyrus. You don't belong, you know, to David. You belong to Christ. And because of that, then he's the one that you should have the characteristics of. And anything outside of the characteristics of Christ is something that is given to the individual. You know, no types and shadows, folks. No, you know, this anointing, that anointing, you know. I mean, I think I've heard so many people say things such as, you know, everything from a David anointing to a Cyrus anointing. And I said, all of that truly sounds great and it looks good. The truth is, it's almost a slap in the face, because it is it's digression. It's not progression, it's digression, because it's bringing you to a place of getting outside of recognizing the mirroring effect of looking and acting and exemplifying the characteristics of Christ, the one who died for you. So when I hear people say this type of anointing, that type of anointing of the Old Testament, hey, I used to be one of those people that would run with it until I woke up, until I realized this is not how the New Testament believers did. And reading the New Testament, you begin to understand exactly how the church acted, how they responded. And yet nowadays, we don't want to respond that way. We feel like we're above them. We're above that, you know, we're above reproach. We're above that situation of who they were. But the truth is, that's who you're called to be. And so God made it plain to me. God says, the ugliness of the church has been displayed. He says, and now he says, my fire is going to begin to purify and to cleanse their hearts for how they've acted. And how and the character, the excuse me, the lack of character they've displayed. And so I knew what happens this year is we're going to begin to see people shift their mind to saying, what was I caught up in? You know, I drank the Kool-Aid, for lack of better words. What happened to me? And God made it plain to me, they're going to begin to shift back to start looking up and knowing the redemption draws nigh, and understanding the reality that the part of the world was never an enemy of God. Never has been, never will be. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So God loved the world. The enemy of Christ was religion and religiosity. And that, my friend, is what Christ came against more than anything. And that's what the disciples came against more than anything. But what we've seen recently is people coming against actually the world. And yet you can't expect the world to act any other way except act like the world. And when you deal with people that are spiritually awakened, you're dealing with the fact of understanding what Christ had a problem with are those that are unawakened and those that begin to act like a human and not realize the fact that their spirit having a human experience. Instead, they would rather be human and feel as if they have to obtain some kind of spiritual experience of a goosebump or some type of signs and wonder. The truth is, you are a sign and a wonder. And what you should be bringing forth this hour is the character of your greatest weaponry, which is the character of Christ, which is when I go the extra mile and I feed the poor, I have literally destroyed things of the enemy. Because what happens is when I begin to do these kind of things, the great exploits, then I'm doing them according to what Jesus told me to do. And so the idea here is, from what the Lord told me, was this is a year of people beginning to see all the stuff and all the things they drank the Kool-Aid on, for lack of better words, the past couple of years are going to begin to be cleansed, and they're going to begin to fall to their knees and realize what they've done, because they have failed to look up. And what they've done, they've got into a system of the world and got into a party and got into a system and got into the world's value of what they feel is right. And none of that was ever, let me say this one more time, ever spoken from the mouth of Christ, nor was it spoken from the mouth of the greatest apostles, Paul, or those disciples in the New Testament. And God began to make it plain to me, and this might be very hard for some of you to hear, but the truth is you can't deny it. You can't deny the scriptures. You can't deny that we can bring up over 100 scriptures in the New Testament that literally, some people, the way they've acted the past couple of years, were literally not even in the categories of 100 of scriptures. But they can pull up tons of Old Testament scriptures and say, this is what we're supposed to do. Why? Because it's typology. Let me tell you something. Reality always trumps typology. Hear me out, folks. Reality always trumps types and shadows. Always. So the reality of God's Word in the New Testament always trumps over your typologies, your type and shadows, and your, well, you know, we get this out of this. No. You know what? That's bull. You need to sit that down, and you need to get into the place where you're living out the Christ, where you're living out the New Testament. And God made it plain to me. God says, share this, Jeremy. And here's what's interesting about this is because I knew in my spirit that some people will be bothered by this, and it breaks my heart that people will be bothered by this because of the fact we're talking New Testament. We're talking Christ. And it's like some people would rather take up for political leaders than they would Christ Himself. And that breaks my heart because it shows me they've drank the Kool-Aid and they've gotten caught up in the world system, and it breaks my heart because that's not who they are. That's not where any of us are supposed to be. And so we're seeing in 2021, we're seeing a shifting where there will be almost like a great divide of those who truly want to be like Christ, be like that, and understand all the logistics and the vocabulary and the characters and the action and the energy of Christ and live that out, versus creating this type of subculture where it's going to be this almost like a type and shadow, for lack of better words, of a political party here on earth, and they're going to forget the things that they're called to do through Christ, but instead they're going to begin to live their life through a system that is founded and grounded in an Old Testament typology. And that breaks my heart, because some people will never see through that. And that's a cry and shame. We're never called to be that. And it's a disgrace. If you want to know the truth about it, I know this is strong language, it's a disgrace to Christ. It's really a disgrace to Him, because that's not how we're supposed to act. He died to give us life and life more abundantly, not to become an army and destroy the world system when we're not called to be part of the world system. And how we do it is we bring the kingdom of God down. The kingdom of God is not a structure of overcoming, the system. It's infiltrating the system with the love. Let me say this again. With the love of Christ. Give us this day our daily bread. As we forget our debt. Think about it. We're called to forget our debts and we forget our debtors. We're called to take up our cross and walk with them daily. We're called to, you know, ask the Lord for our daily bread. We're called to all these things. And you get into, you know, all these scriptures. And then you get into, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And you realize, hold on a minute. Wait a minute. I just got finished asking God to forgive me of my debtors. You know, of my debts, as I forgive my debtors, and yet I've actually sat here and prayed, thy will be done on earth as is in heaven. So what's going on here? Because all these things are a part of submission. These things are a part of submission. So when we bring the kingdom down, it's a submissive kingdom that causes us to be more submissive to the things of God's word, to begin to understand the logistics of humbling ourselves before the mighty hand of God. Loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. Loving our enemies. Hello. I've seen the church recently rather kill their enemies and stand up for guns and shoot them more than anything, versus the fact of God saying, you love your enemies. Show grace and mercy and compassion, for goodness sake. You know? I mean, go the extra mile. So what's happening here is we're going to begin to see a great divide. Mark my word, folks. You will see a great divide. And you will see people that will be on one side wanting to be like Christ and the other people wanting to master themselves as Christ, but yet live out Old Testament scriptures where they're going to begin to dominate, control, and feel as if they're doing it in the name of the Lord, but yet they're going to leave the name of Christ out because they know it's not what Christ would do. And those are things you have to begin to understand. This is not about a battle of pick and choose, you know, of I'm for this person because they believe this. This is not about that. This is about the Christ that says, love your enemies. Well, my enemies don't believe like me. Doesn't matter. Love your enemies. Walk the extra mile. Visit someone in prison. Feed the widows. Clothe the poor. And this is what the one that died for you says. And this is why you need to pay attention to the understanding. So when God sort of interrupted my morning this morning and shared that with me, I thought, you know, God, I can see all of that very, very plainly. Very, very plainly. And I knew at that moment what God was sharing with me, that there's going to be a purging coming of people, for lack of better words, who drank the Kool-Aid. And when it happens, when I start seeing people begin to arise to really be and know who they are, but whose they are, and they're going to finally start acting like whose they are. That's what's so important in the kingdom of God. So I hope this blessed you today. I'm not really one to share this on my podcast, but I feel like today God wanted me to, because, you know, it's something that burned in me this morning, and I'm like, you know what? I can't resist this, God, you know? And no one should ever resist the fact of sharing love and sharing the character of Christ. And I always say this to people, if you're always loving people, and if you're always putting your head in the heavens and not in some, you know, political arena, some worldly system, and people, let's say, reject you or turn their back on you, trust me, you didn't need them from the very beginning, because what they're doing is, you know, what they're doing is they're turning their back on Christ, because Christ is not to them the strong one. He's not the one that actually is going to be, you know, the fighter, the cut the sword, the, you know, let's be vindictive, let's be defensive. And sometimes Christ is not strong enough in their eyes, and they would rather have a warrior mentality than one that says, decrease so I can increase in you. He who is last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Some people don't like that. Some people would rather say, no, we've had enough. We're going to press forward. We've done enough. We're going to, you know, because they love being defensive, and they think that's a weapon for them. But what's going to happen is it's a false weapon that will take them down, and they'll be swept away. Versus the weaponry that we can't understand in the natural, that actually is the strongest weaponry we have, which is the weaponry of love, grace, compassion, mercy. Look at the Beatitudes. I'll close with this. Look at the Beatitudes. Notice how Jesus had every opportunity to say what he wanted to say. He had everyone's attention, and he brought forth the Beatitudes. He brought forth the power of, you know, the meek shall inherit the earth. Let me ask you an honest question. Have we seen meekness the past couple of years in the church? I sure haven't. I've seen more defensive, fighting, warfare, militant mentalities than I have meekness. You know, he who's poor in spirit shall see God. I haven't seen that in people in a while. I want you to go and read the Beatitudes, because that's the part where you look and you say, you know what? What did Jesus really talk about? He had every opportunity. Never spoke about hell. Never spoke about political parties. Never spoke about being defensive. He spoke on the character of how you're supposed to be and the reward from that character, those are the greatest weapons, folks, that we have. So I want you to pray about this today. Listen to the podcast. Pray about it. Let God's Holy Spirit just begin to saturate you to realize exactly, you know, where you were, maybe where you've been and maybe where you need to be. Because you know what? We all need to keep a check in our spirit to say, you know what? What am I supposed to be doing? You know, it's almost that phrase of, you know, hey, snap out of it. You know, come out of that mentality. You know, be separate. And so that's what I want you guys to do today. Be separate. Be the spiritual people you're called to be. And you know what? That way you won't be defensive if people say things, because you don't have to say so, because you don't care. That's the key, because you don't really care. Because you understand the power of who you are in spirit. And so nothing by the natural means should defend you, make you offensive, hurt your feelings, or make you mad. Because the truth is, it only happens when you allow your emotions and your mind to become part of a worldly system. That's why. That's all. So I hope everyone has a blessed day today. And as always, make sure you go and sign up for our Hot Off the Press Monthly Book Club. I write a book every month. I would love for you guys to be part of it. And as always, thank you for being a part of the ministry as well. You guys are awesome. We love you. You're part of our family here. And we have thousands upon thousands of big family members here in this ministry. And also, don't forget, as I close with the podcast, go and create the day you want to see. Go and create a better world. Go and create a better day for you that's full of love, full of joy, full of happiness, full of grace. And put a smile on your face and know, you know what? All is well, because the battle is not mine. I don't have to fight for anything. The battle is the Lord's. Have a blessed day.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.